Well, 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 thank you for joining us on a Thursday evening and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're proving dad isn't too cool for an inflatable pool, we'll be caching in the Northwest. And you know, we can't do that until we bring in our steam-powered sidekick. Some say he's loco for locomotives, and others say he has a one-track mind. All we know is he's called Subway Mark.
Hey, that's me. Hey, wait, wasn't this supposed to be Land Monkey?
You know what? No Land Monkey tonight. You get the Land Monkey intro.
I feel so honored.
You should. It doesn't happen to many guests. They don't get the Land Monkey treatment.
Wow, I feel special.
So, welcome, and we're going to talk about, well, guess what? Train-type caches. But before we get to that, a quick reminder that we appreciate all of our patrons who help support this podcast and keep it coming each and every week. If you want to know more about supporting the show, go over and click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about the sidetracked caching series with Subway Mark. So, if you found a sidetracked cache, go ahead and toss that in the chat, and we'll get to it in a little bit. We just want to get those queued up, and we'll talk with Subway Mark about that. If you found any other train-related caches, go ahead and toss those in there, and we'll see what we can come up with. Now, each and every week, yes, each and every week, we like to bring you the glow. That's the geocaching log of the week. You see how this whole week thing falls into place? It really does. These are logs submitted by our listeners. Yes, by you. And I want to say thank you. If you have found a glow-worthy log, maybe you wrote it, maybe you read it, why don't you send it in to us? Send it to feedback@cachingnw.com. And there's a very good chance you're going to get that glow right here on the show. This one, we see that Oceans Azul found Auburn 2017 Sun Circle. That's GC7 Charlie Mike Queen Zebra or Zulu or Zed, however you want to say it. Yeah, I have to throw in the Zed for the Canadians. We read from Oceans Azul, it came down for the day to try to find a few old caches, a couple of unique icons, and to start the Auburn 2017 passport. It's taken me a few months to make my way down for the passport, even though I had a great time when I did the 2017 series. Although I didn't make it all the way through the day, I got 15 and a couple of other interesting caches along the way. Wasn't quite sure what to expect with all these favorite points and that description. I narrowed down the ground zero quickly and with a little help from some nearby information. Then the trickier task began. Figuring out how to get it open. After trying a few things and working it out step by step, I finally got it open and was able to sign the log. Super creative. Favorite of the series. Favorite point for me. There was no one in the park because it was cold and a little rainy, but it made a great day to find some caches without Muggle interference. Thanks for all the creativity and effort to put these caches in this series. So thank you for sending that in. Now, that one I know is a bounce cache, and I remember doing that a little over a year ago, and it was a fantastic cache, and it's still there. It's one of those gadget caches that that he gets to put out. Now, Oceans Azul was able to find this cache first time, but maybe you've had a problem finding a cache, and you've had to log a DNF. You know what? That's not the end of the story. Because, well, just this week, I myself have been a DNF avenger. Yes, I was able to avenge one of the DNFs that's been haunting me for a while. In fact, I've actually hesitated even going out to find this one again because it's such a difficult hide. But maybe you're a DNF avenger. We have a contest going on right now, and we have great geocaching trackable prizes available to our winners. So make sure you enter this contest.
Well, so how do you enter this contest?
Oh, well, you know, it's rather easy. Share your story of an avenged DNF using hashtag DNF Avengers. Share that to Cashing NW on Twitter or Facebook. You know what? You can email us feedback@cashingnw.com and we will reshare that story right here. You know, tweet a story, share a link, whatever you need to do. We want to know about your DNF avenging. And on top of this, and on top of knowing you've got that cache found, every entry is going to receive a special DNF Avengers badge for your geocaching profile. Now, some of you may even win prizes. The rules right now are on landmonkey.blogspot.ca. Go over, take a look, see what you need to do. So, with all that out of the way, Subway Mark, thank you for coming on Caching in the Northwest.
Hey, no problem. I think I've been out here a few times before.
You have been. And because you're such a good returning guest, we gave you the Land Monkey intro treatment.
I feel so special still.
Yeah. Hey, you like trains.
I do.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Maybe we have the wrong guest on the wrong show. No, we have the right guest on the right show. Yes. I'm going to go on a limb and say you probably know this, but did you hear that the Spokane Geocoin Challenge this year is focused on the star? That's, well, you know what the star is, right?
Spokane Trains and Railroads?
Yes. Very good.
Wow.
I was just looking at that this week, and we just talked with Lookout Lisa and Kid Vegas 19. They're the ones putting it together, and it kind of went over my head that the pre-launch event on Friday, that's GC7 Hotel 3 X-Ray, is a unique event. It's at the Inland Railroad Museum in Reardon, Washington. They're going to have free museum admission for the geocachers, birthday cake and punch served from a historic dining car, and a presentation on train history by the museum's curator. How cool is that?
That is pretty awesome. Did you know that they're actually a brand new museum? That's a new building that they just built.
No, I didn't know that.
With a turntable and everything.
Wait, in the museum?
Outside the museum.
Outside the museum? Okay.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. They built the museum. Did they build the turntable? Is that new?
They got a turntable from somewhere else and put it in.
Okay. Because they're not making any more turntables, are they? Is that still a thing? No?
Not anymore, because steam locomotives are not a thing anymore.
Oh, is it just steam locomotives?
They use them for diesels, but it was really designed for steam.
Okay. See, I need this kind of information from you.
I'm a train geek.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
So, why don't you elaborate on that a little more? You are a train geek, but you're also a geocacher. And do those things intersect often?
Oh, yeah, they do intersect often. You know, I started geocaching way back in 2007. I've found at least 4,000 geocaches, and I do try to keep, like, every 50 to 100 caches I prefer to have a rail theme.
Really? One of those. That's cool.
Yeah, something in the title has to be railroad-related or tram streetcars or whatever. Anything if it's on flange wheel, that would be me. And then I've put out a bunch of caches, over 100 caches, and 70 of them are, 70, at least 75 are still active. And a good portion of them, probably 60 to 70% of them, are railroad themed. Go figure.
I found one of those.
Yes, the one out on the Oregon coast.
Was it the Derailed series?
Disappearing Railroad Blues.
Disappearing Railroads. Yes, there it is. I knew there was a D. Sorry, I got derailed, but go ahead.
That's okay. So, yeah, a lot of my caches, where I started with the railroad series, were disappearing or reappearing railroad blues, or Oregon railroad history was another one. And it's probably because I grew up in New York City, and I grew up near the subway, and my dad got me my first model train set when I was 5 years old. Even though I'm 5 years old, it's all out of boxes says for 8 and up, but I had it when I was 5.
Well, see, you're advanced for your age.
Or my dad wanted to play with them. I'm not sure. Let's go figure. Anyway,
you were advanced for your age.
That's right. But you know, I had him set up for every so often, but you know, then I became a member of a trolley museum up here in Oregon. And they're so, all the models are up in boxes. Cause once you play with real, you know, 12 inches equals 1 foot gauge, it's hard to play with the small stuff when you get to play with the big stuff.
Yeah. My first train was HO gauge.
Well, that's what I have is HO. Okay.
So that was the one, you know, the end gauge was just too small. And what was the big one? Was it O?
O gauge or yeah. 27 Lionel.
Yep. Yeah. And that just seemed too big.
Yeah. I have my dad's Lionel stuff in a box in the basement too. So one of these days it'll come back out.
O gauge.
O gauge. Oh,
see, that's the one where you need the big train set up in the garage.
Yes. O gauge also works around the tree, Christmas tree, pretty well.
Oh, that. Boy, I've really got to stop doing that. That one wasn't intentional. That's a great idea. That is a good size train for the tree. Yeah,
it is.
Didn't think about that.
Yeah, we for Christmas I put an O gauge trolley that goes back and forth in front of the tree. So,
okay.
Until my dog decides to knock it off.
Well, you know, you got to have some fun.
I think we're getting sidetracked, though.
Ooh, wait a minute! Isn't there a series of caches called Sidetracked?
I think there is. Yes, there is.
Why didn't you tell us about those?
Yes. Yeah. So Sidetracked, you know, a couple years ago, I was in Ireland and as usual, I try to find caches related to trains and along the Luask light rail line and the dark commuter line, they have caches at most of the stations and a lot of them are called Sidetracked. And I didn't think anything of it, so I found a few, and that was the end of that. And then last year, Podcasher, the other podcast, not a competitor, just another podcast.
All podcasts help each other.
Exactly. So Podcasher interviewed Chris, who's the owner of the Sidecash series website in the United Kingdom. And that's when I realized, oh, Sidetracked is not this little thing that people just made up. It's actually a big worldwide cache series that's all over the place. And it's so then it's like, oh, maybe I should change my geocaches that I have that meet the criteria to be sidetracked geocaches.
Oh, okay. So what makes a cache part of the sidetrack series? What is that criteria? I mean, you know, this is kind of interesting. You could just take, it doesn't have to be a new cache. It could be an existing one that's rebranded.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So they like it when it's new caches, but they actually took some of my previous caches that I renamed into the Sidetrack series. They do have a lot of criteria. They want the Sidetrack caches. If it's just called Sidetracked, and then a station name, they wanted to be near a station because the whole idea behind it when it was the original concept is you're riding a train, you get off the train, and you're like, I want to find a cache real quick. So it'd be within a 5-minute walk of the train station. So that's how it kind of started. And so from there, it's kind of blossomed. So any cache that's called Sidetracked, just Sidetracked itself, is by an active train station. But not on the railway property, because that's the sidetrack rules. Which even supersedes what the geocaching rules are, which geocaching I think is 150 feet away from a railroad right away.
Okay.
So they just don't want to cause any problems with the railway police and stuff like that at a station, and that's pretty cool. Then they also have more sidetrack caches. One's called Really Sidetracked. That means it's a former railway station. So it's no longer, the trains don't longer stop there, or maybe there's no even track there anymore. It's just a station building. So now it's called Really Sidetracked.
Didn't we eat in a, no, it was an old power.
It's an old power substation.
Power substation, but it was for the trains, right? Or for the trolley.
It was for the trolley. It was for the inner urbans. And I could call that a Really Sidetracked if I put a cache out there and fall up. That would be my interpretation.
Okay.
And then there's a tram sidetrack. So that's by an active tram line, streetcar, or light rail stop. I actually had asked Chris if because tram is not a typical name in the U.S., especially for light rail systems, newer systems. If we could have light rail instead of tram, but they don't want to add more naming conventions. So they said, no, let's keep it tram. So I converted a couple of my caches in Portland that were what I called reappear in railroad smiles into a tram sidetrack.
Okay.
For that. Then there's, of course, just like the railroad station, they had to really sidetrack. You can have really tram sidetrack for old tram stations. And then there's another series called Tube Sidetrack, which is really designed for London Underground. So it'd be near London Underground's entrance or station house. But it could also be any metro around the world, not just London.
So like the New York subway?
You could do it for New York subway if you wanted. Or BART down in San Francisco if you wanted.
And beyond that, I'm struggling to think of any subways.
Chicago?
Yeah, I haven't been there. As far as
Los subway. Angeles.
Really?
Yeah, Los Angeles has a subway.
I didn't know if I knew that. Okay.
Yeah. That's mine. Most people don't notice that, but yeah, they have a subway. And then of course they have they're in London, they have some tube stations that are abandoned, but the station building is still there. Mm-hmm. And so that's called ghost tube stations. Because they're spooky.
Ooh. Keats says Toronto has a subway.
Yes, Toronto does.
But Toronto's not in the Northwest.
No. Of course, you could argue Seattle Link is almost a subway. Downtown's a subway.
You mean the Tacoma Link?
No, Seattle. Seattle Link light rail. Goes through underground
yes,
downtown.
Yes, it does.
The bus what was called the bus tunnel.
Yeah, right.
And then the other series that they allow is really only for London. It's called DLR Sidetracked, mm-hmm. and that's for Docklands Light Railway, which is in the east side of London. So if you can't, if you're not getting a hint, this is really a UK-based series.
Well, yeah, I'll give you that.
So, but they are very particular on the naming conventions. So, like, if you, as in Chris,
hello,
wanted to put a cache out by the Tacoma Link Theater District station, you could do that, but you'd have to call you'd have to actually spell it out: capital T, capital R, capital A, capital M. So for tram, space sidetracked, and the S and the T are capitalized. They're persnickety, and then followed by a dash, and then you'd say Theater District, and then you have a sidetrack cache.
Interesting. And do you have to register that with Sidetracked,
or what you do is you basically send an email, okay. And there's a link on their website, which is sidetrackseries.info, and you just say, hey, I just published this cache and this is the naming convention. They will actually check to make sure that your naming convention is correct, and then they'll list it, and basically they put it into a GSAC macro, mm-hmm. so they can publish the stats on their website of all the sidetracked caches around the world.
So that leads me into my next question. Is there a sidetrack cache in Tacoma on the Link Light Rail run?
There isn't, but I know there is a Link-related cache along the light rail, at least one.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's one I know right there near the theater district I have not been able to find. And it's mostly because of muggles. I haven't had the time to search.
Sounds like a DNF in Avengers.
Oh. It does. Hashtag DNF Avengers.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I'm old school pound sign.
No. Octothorpe.
Exactly.
In the chat is very active tonight. Thank you all. Dora Moore says Vancouver has a SkyTrain, which spends a goodly amount of its time underground.
Especially the Canada line.
Which seems odd for a SkyTrain.
True.
And Bounce says the buses still use the tunnel in Seattle
for another year. Yeah. Then they're kicked out.
Keats throws in potentially in a few decades or years, the Broadway subway will be built out to UBC, University of British Columbia.
That needs to be done desperately in Vancouver.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next question from Dorimore, I think she's reading the show notes. So Dorimore, stop it. But she has a great question that says, how many countries have sidetracked caches? And do you get souvenirs for them, like church micros, or not necessarily souvenirs, but badges?
So not that I'm aware of. Currently, I've looked at the stats. The website says 25, but according to stats, I counted on their stats page, it's actually 29 countries that are involved with this around the world. The United Kingdom is number one with over 2,900 caches in the series. That's a lot for a small island country. U.S. is currently number five. I think I own more than half of those, but
that's good for you.
And then there's France, and Lithuania and Ireland round out the top five.
Lithuania.
Huh. Yeah, I know. It's kind
of
odd.
That's not one of the countries you expect in a top five of anything.
No, I mean, UK and Ireland. Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Then Lithuania and then France. Mm-hmm. And then even Zimbabwe, of all countries in the world, they even have one.
Interesting.
So.
Well, it's those silly geocachers.
I know. Of course, I think the U.S. should actually be higher than France, because there's actually some that I have renamed sidetracked that they still haven't put in their database. Okay. So I still think U.S. is number four.
Interesting.
But we have a way to go to get to number one.
Yeah. See, I was in France, and I've been on the TVG. Just not trying to say it in French. In 99, back before geocaching was a thing. So that's exciting.
It is kind of cool, though, to be part of a worldwide series, because it's over 3,500 worldwide. I mean, and I own a few, so I feel like part of something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm. GSM times two says, would a metro rail in Los Angeles qualify if the hider met the naming convention?
Yes, you just put it tube. Yep, you definitely could do that.
Metro rail would be a tube?
Yes, because that's their metro rail in Los Angeles is both subway and light rail, but the underground lines, which I can't think of the colors, purple and red, I think.
Wow, that's impressive that you even could come up with that.
I think it is purple and red, because the blue line's light rail, green's light rail, and what the new line is out of the Expo line, I forget what color that is, but
rainbow colored
or all light rail systems.
All this talk of lines suddenly made me remember purple and red are correct, says GSM times two.
You see? I'm good.
I never doubted you. And it would not surprise me if just off camera, you've got a map of the rail system that you're looking at.
No, but back of my phone's New York.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going back to the Spokane GeoCoin Challenge this year. They're going to have four lines, each of a different color, that you have to follow and get. I think each one has 10 caches on it. You have to get at least 7 or 8 of those. But I thought that was a great idea, rather than, you know, here's 40 caches. No, you follow the red line or the black line or the, like, that's cute. I like that idea.
That's kind of an awesome idea.
Yeah.
I'm looking really forward to trying to do that series. I'm going to get that coin.
I bet you are. I look over here. Did you get the Auburn GeoCoin?
Yes. Yes, I had to.
There you go. Let's see. Will it focus on it? Maybe. Yeah. It's got a steam locomotive. But that was Auburn of some year.
2015,
it says right on.
2015. There you go.
Okay. What type of caches? So we know how they have to be named. We know what they have to be near. What type of caches are involved?
If it's a cache type, it can be it pretty much. So I even looked through the stats. They obviously have regulars. That's what most of them are. But they also have multis, mysteries. There's a where I go. There's a letterbox. There's virtuals and even earth caches. Which was interesting. Because I looked at them, they're in London by London train stations, and they have either some artwork up front or something that's stone, and they wanted to, and you need to learn the history about where this quarry came from or whatever like that. So it's pretty cool.
Well,
and there's even a Sido at a rail station that was done.
Really? Well, that makes sense. Yeah, actually. Most of the rail stations that I've been to, they need a Saito.
Especially in the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
But they also have events, too, Sidetrack mm-hmm. series events, which can be any time of the year, but on August 10th of every year is considered Sidetrack Day, because the first Sidetrack cache ever hidden was on August 10th, 2007, by Eversham Station, and by Sharnoff and Biker Me 76, or Biker Mel 76.
Mel 76.
So they kind of celebrate that as on that. So last year they had a record thing, and they actually mint geocoins for that event, and event hosts get different coins than people who buy the coins. And the only people eligible to buy the coins are the ones that attend event. You actually have to do an attend event, and then you have the right to buy the coin.
Well, that makes sense. That makes it more exclusive, and you know, for those who really want the coin, they're going to go to do this.
Especially since they do small mint runs, so
right.
It really is important.
Right. Just happened to look up on the calendar. August 10th falls on a Friday this year, so that makes it pretty easy. People will go out somewhere on a Friday night.
Yeah, I'm considering doing. I haven't contacted the venue yet, but there's a former Oregon Electric Railway station in Albany, Oregon. That's a pizza place now, and they have a back room.
Oh, well, you got it all worked out now.
And they had a geocaching event there for some other group last year. So I need to call them and see if we can do an event there that night, because that would be kind of awesome.
Okay, I just had a thought.
Uh-oh.
You mentioned places that are train themed, and I thought, well, there's a couple of places I know that have like mining carts with the tracks laid out. Mm-hmm. Would a mining railroad qualify? No, it's not necessarily a railroad, is it? I'm confused on my terms.
No, it runs on tracks. Mm-hmm. But would it fit in this series? If it's museum related, you probably could do like a really sidetracked kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can use really sidetracked also for museums as well. They also have mini sidetrack for miniature railways, so maybe that might work too.
There you go. What about a monorail? We have one of those in Seattle.
Yeah, that doesn't quite fit, but it should.
There should be a mono, right?
It should be a mono sidetrack.
Yeah. Monotracked. I think we've already discussed this, but is there any sort of reward, prize, souvenir, geocoin, birthday cake related to the series?
It's the gloating rights that you get your stats on the page if you find caches. I haven't found enough to actually... I looked in their stats page. I'm not even on their stats page for finds because I haven't found enough.
Oh, well, you've hidden them all.
Well, I know, exactly. So they have up to 5,000 cachers who found Sidetrack series, and the minimum number, I think it was like 18, and I've only like found 2 to 4 or something like that in Ireland. But I'm going to fix that.
How are you going to fix that?
In July and August, I'm in the UK.
Ooh.
There might be some Sidetrack caches in my future.
Of course there is.
Because I can't count my own. Yeah. I'm on the hiders stats page.
Mm-hmm.
Not finders.
So this stats page you're talking about is www.sidetrackedseries.info.
Correct.
Go there, and you're I didn't look at the stats page, to be honest with you.
I'm number 42 on the hiders side.
Well, that makes sense. How many did you hide? Did you say close to 50?
Of the sidetrack series, no, because not all of them fit. This says I hit 10, but I think I'm actually at 15.
15, okay. No, right, you hit 175 are still active and out of those. Gotcha.
Right, yeah. And like I said, some of them don't fit the series, so I'm not going to rename them. Because I still like my Disappearing River Blues Because that's what always sounds cool. You know, it sounds like a song.
Doramore says the link you shared are the badges for.
I've never put my badges on my profile.
That link you shared shows there are badges for the
profile. Yeah, look at that.
Yes. That's right. If you go to profile badges or profile rank badges,
can do that.
I did go into this earlier and put my name in there and it wouldn't do it because I don't exist, according to the Sidetrack series.
Yeah, which say, I just put mine in. So Subway March says, just started Found 4.
Okay. You're just getting started. Yet there are so many out there to find. 3,400?
Yeah, 3,400.
Wow. That's an impressive number for any series. And yet this is, you know, it's pretty unique. I don't know of any other geocaching series that is using so many hiders and, you know, loosely administrated. Well, I guess, loosely administrated is not quite the right term.
It is kind of loosely administrated. I mean, it's not formalized. I mean, if you want to be listed in a database, it's more formalized, right. I guess, is what it is. I mean, I think someone mentioned before that you got the church micros in England, which is a big deal in England. Mm-hmm. There's also, I know there's ones for cemeteries too, I believe.
Well, there's a series around here called Vision Quest Spirit Quest.
Spirit Quest.
I don't know how organized that is. I don't know if that's just one or two hiders that happen to use that, or is it again a series of cemetery hides?
But is it organized or it's a website? I don't know. Yeah. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like I know a cache series in Arizona called My Favorite Watering Hole, which is, believe it or not, bars. It's actually a series of convenience stores.
Really?
Because I forget the name. It's Quick Trip in Phoenix area. And so there's usually a My Favorite Water Hole by a Quick Trip because they're famous for fountain drinks.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Interesting. But I like the whole idea of this big worldwide cache series, with some stats, with some, a little bit of prestige going with it if you're a finder or a hider.
Yep.
It's very unique. So there you go. Head on over to, I gotta go look at that link again, sidetrackedseries.info. And it's going to show you the caches, where to get started, and who knows, maybe you will get a profile badge of your very own.
And you don't have to speak British.
Aren't we kind of speaking British?
No, we haven't spoken English in years. That's what they'll tell you.
Yeah, that's true. We speak American, according to them.
And then there's the Scottish. And then you got Welsh. Mm-hmm. Forget about it.
I've told the story several times, but I'll do it one more time. A vendor called and the man on the phone was Irish and he was so much fun to listen to. I was like, you know what? He kept me on the phone and he wanted to schedule an appointment and first day didn't work. You know, that time didn't work. And finally we picked up that we were going to meet Thursday at Tree Turdy. I was like, excuse me, what? When was that time again? It's on Thursday at Tree Turdy.
I'm going to meet you in the pub at Thursday at 3:30. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is so much fun. Somebody else completely different came Thursday at 3:30. I'm like, oh, well, now I'm disappointed. Wanted to talk to that Irish accent again, but it didn't happen.
Well, it's still Thursday.
Thursday. Every Thursday right here.
Every Thursday.
We start at 8:30.
But it's really 9 o'clock.
Well, yeah. The hosts get together at about 8:30 so we can figure out making sure our equipment works, go over last minute details. Oh, well, folks, you think we just turn on the mics and off we go? Oh, no. No, there's a process to this.
It's very much quality.
Oh, thank you. Lori, thank you. She says it's been very interesting. And I suddenly forgot Lori's cash name. She does the Cash Dash Splash. Half Canadian and Scooter the Wonder Dog.
Cash Dash Splash is also doing a railroad theme this year.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just registered for it too.
Did you?
Of course.
You know, I took my wife to Cash Dash Splash a couple of years ago. She absolutely loved Long Beach in the area. And, you know, the hotel we stayed at there, I'll come up with it here in a minute or not. Excellent facilities. We really enjoyed our time there. So, good chance that we'll be back again this year.
I've just booked the hotel, so I expect to see you there.
Okay. It's awkward if you booked a hotel room for me. Oh, wrong Lori. This is Seebeck Tribe. Thank you, Lori. Seebeck Tribe. Now, Seebeck Tribe, you live in the city of Seebeck. That means there's that park with that wonderful house that you can, quote unquote, rent at no cost from the city of Seebeck. And you need to host an event there. Just throwing that out there. Okay, all done.
Hint, hint.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was the wrong Lori. Lori, thousand apologies. Okay. Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate each and every one of you. And we appreciate our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, Limax, and WorldCaching.com. If you want to know more about supporting the show, click that Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. And as always, each and every week, we want to thank all of our supporters. And let's see if I can do this in one breath like Land Monkey. B-Pen Dragon, Broncos Fans for Life, Sprouter, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Doramore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, G-Nice, Antaeus, Keats 94, Curiosity Girl, and a brand new patron this week, Trexer Zero.
That's awesome.
So welcome. I think I took a breath there when I said the new one, but
it was okay.
We didn't notice
that.
Hold on.
These are not the droids you're looking for. Thank
you. Okay. So, Mr. Subway Mark, if somebody was looking to find out more about your incredible knowledge of rail systems, where could they find you?
Well, let's see. SubwayMark@gmail.com, SubwayMark on geocaching, or my website. It's not Subway Mark. My website is ktransit.com.
Nice. If you're looking for me, you can head to Twitter, look for CachingNW, facebook.com/CachingNW. Better yet, head on over to CachingNW.com and look for the hosts. I'll get it right. CachingNW.com/hosts. There you go. Read the bios. And there's a bunch of links that not only I didn't mention, but Land Monkey and Wits End are there too, and we miss them tonight. But most of all, we want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. Call in 253-693-TFTC. Leave us a comment, ask us a question, or buy us a ticket on the Empire Builder Run any time of the day or night. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. And also, your support helps keep the quality shows coming. If you like this show, please click the Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. The show's produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris, Jay, Jim, and Subway Mark. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Umfenauer. And folks, we encourage you to stay tuned for
The After Show.
The After Show. See, Wits End is here with us.
He, I feel him in spirit for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Seebeck Tribe says, wow, second hint on that one in the house down there. There's, I can't remember the name of the park. My nephew had a kind of like the rehearsal dinner for his wedding at this park in Seebeck. And there's a lovely house there. And it was mentioned that if you happen to be a resident of Seebeck, the gentleman who donated the house, and I assume the whole land, to the park, says any resident of Seebeck can rent this house, use this house free of charge. You do have to schedule it. But anybody else who wants to use it has to rent it.
And where is Seebeck?
It's in Washington.
That's a big state, by the way.
Let's see. I need a map to tell you exactly where Seebeck is. It's the park is the Scenic Beach State Park. Oh, or Washington State Park in Seebeck is what. Seebeck is, let's say, east of Silverdale. So a little above Bremerton and Port Orchard.
Okay.
Still within the sound, not out to the coast.
Oh, there you go. Scenic Beach State Park.
Ooh. Yeah.
Google still works.
I know. 20 minutes outside Silverdale. Seebeck Tribe, you are amazing. Thank you for your help. It's a beautiful area. It really is. And it's right there on the water. Well, for the most part. The Elmer House.
I've never really been on the peninsula or around that area at all. I need to do that someday.
Oh, you should. How's your DeLorean pages for the state of Washington? Is it just I-5 and 90?
Pretty much. I mean, I've gotten many of the counties, but I'm still pretty much open. So
yeah, it's on Hood Canal is Seebeck. And you know what? You're right. It's on Hood Canal. Now that I zoom out, you're exactly right.
Yeah, yes, it's Hood Canal. Look at
yeah.
That.
I was zoomed in too close, and I thought that was still sound. It's not. It's Hood Canal. See, I should not speak before I have information. This is the problem of a podcaster.
That's correct. There will be someone to correct you.
There. Well, that's what the whole chat is for correcting just me. Everybody else is right. Yeah. Seebeck Drive says, I hope I was right. You were exactly right. I was
yeah, you're right
wrong.
On the money.
Yeah. Oh, with the name Seebeck in the caching name, she better be right.
Well, even if we would just assume she's right, even if she's wrong.
Yeah.
So.
She also says she's going to see me at the event on Vashon. So, Leadweed, a Vashon Island geocacher. Where did we see each other? I want to say it might've been an Auburn event. I don't know. We saw each other and I heard he was going to put out he got a virtual reward.
Oh,
one
nice.
Of the new virtual caches. And I thought, oh, let's do an event when that releases, that'll kind of be fun. And he's going to put it at the, lighthouse on Vashon Island. So we've been chatting back and forth and he got permission to use the lighthouse. So on July 1st, there's going to be an event on Vashon Island. And when I was looking at Vashon, I realized how perfectly it's placed between Tacoma, Seattle, and Bremerton. It forms that triangle right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody has to take a ferry to get there. It is a true island.
Correct.
Unlike some islands in the area, which actually are connected, would be. And I guess there is a little bridge, isn't there?
Yeah,
it truly is an island, but barely an island. There's several that are you know, like Bainbridge. Now Bainbridge does have a bridge. Anyway, I was like, wow, that's a great place to put an event. That you know you can get three major metropolitans to come to.
And you all have to go by ferry.
And you all have to go by ferry. The event's at 2:00, so look at your ferry schedules. There's now, here's the cool thing. If you come to that event on that day, you can get 6 icons right on that island.
That's pretty impressive for us.
Yeah.
Because it's not a big island.
Right. So there, of course, there'll be the event and the virtual. Right on that same location is an Oh Joy Earth Cache, so you know it's good. And there's a traditional in the park. there's a multi and a mystery also on the island, whether you're coming from north or south.
So there, you gotta do hidden creatures as anyway, so
that will be during hidden creatures. You're right. And that doesn't matter. It's a cache is a cache is a cache during
exactly. It'd be nice if it was higher points for other caches, but
you know, yes and no. I you know, the it's not part of the friend league, so it's different than it was last year.
Right.
You know, people the year before was, you know, this week find this type of cache, this week find that type of cache, and people are like, well, it's just one cache. Here, you have to go out and find 100 caches. Some people are going, oh, I can't get 100 caches. Well, you're not going to please everyone.
No. 100 caches is kind of hard for me in a month. That's I've never done 100 caches in a month.
Okay.
Maybe I'll try. I'll try because my the top one is the, you know, the turtle. And my, mm-hmm. my wife is a big Terry Pratchett fan. And the Terry Pratchett Discworld is a flat world sitting on the back of four elephants on top of a turtle flying through the universe.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So that kind of feeds the world turtle.
Exactly. And if I show that to my wife, it's like, oh, that's kind of Terry Pratchett mm-hmm. themed without the elephants.
Right. Right. GSM times two says, with the rising oceans, maybe these things will become islands in the future.
That's correct.
Seabeck Tried says, it's on Vashon Island or just Murray Island? Well, Murray Island is physically connected to Vashon, so I don't know how you call that an island. It's one of my pet peeves. It's not an island if it's still attached.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's just a little isthmus there, so yeah, it's connected.
It's connected. But yet, it's true. There, it says Murray Island. Or yep. Is it Murray or Maury? Maury.
Maury. Maury Island.
Yeah, Maury Island everywhere around it. So we're going to Point Robertson.
The little inlet is called Maury Island Aquatic Reserve.
They're very quiet there.
Wow.
They keep to themselves. They're a little reserved. So, yeah, it'll be fun. But you know, there are several islands that are true islands, but there are some that they call islands that, you know, like Whidbey. It's not a real island.
I think you have a thing about Whidbey Island.
Yeah. Don't call it an island if it's attached. Oh, no, I guess it is. I'm wrong. It is. There's a bridge up top. That's not a very big one. Doesn't count. There are a couple others that those aren't real islands.
Well, it's connected at a bridge by Deception Pass, so therefore it's deceptively an island.
Deception Pass is beautiful, by the way, if you haven't been out there.
I haven't been out there. I need to do that.
So,
I've done the San Juans. That's gorgeous.
Yes. Spent a summer, well, a week out there one summer. We had some friends who had a house, and they said, well, you know, we're not using it. Would you like to? Well, yeah. And, the San Juans was just gorgeous. It's one of those places that I want to take my father back to and say, hey, come on, let's go. Now, those are islands.
Those are really islands.
Yeah, those are really islands.
If you go to the tip of San Juan Island itself, your cell phone starts going crazy. It keeps wanting to say, you're an international. No, I'm not. I'm still in the freaking U.S.
I know. I'm sorry. You've connected to Orange. Wait, no, I don't. Turn off data. Turn off data.
No.
Not doing international rates because I'm still in the U.S.
I'm still in the U.S.
It's kind of like Point Roberts. What do you do there?
Yeah, because you're in the U.S., but you really you're connected to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do that just because.
I've been to Point Roberts. If you happen to be in Delta, swing over to Point Roberts, get gas, and you come back.
Oh, yeah, it'd be cheaper.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of Canadians do that all the time.
I hear that's the thing to do.
Because I know when we went to Canada, we stopped at Costco mm-hmm. north of Bellingham, and it's all Canadian plates. And they're all, and not only that, but they're all filling up gas cans.
Oh, are they? 55 gallon drums.
Well, multiple of the five of the, you know, 2.5 to 5 ones. It's like, oh my God.
Good night, Scott.
Good night.
Scott's leaving us. Yeah, it's just, it's Point Roberts is one of those things they forgot to look on the map when they drew the line.
It's like, oops.
Yeah. I mean, they went around Victoria and all that. They for, you know, like, just draw the, it's straight line right across. Oh, oh, we forgot that. Oops, sorry.
Missed that. Well, if the line's correct too, I'm seeing the ferry terminal on the Canadian side is so close to the U.S. border.
Yeah. But it's in Canada. I believe it's a BC ferry.
It's in Canada.
Yeah, it's a BC ferry run.
Wow. The oddities of geography.
Isn't it? What? Hey, Trexer. Thanks for joining us tonight. He needed to find a cache today for his 365 grid.
Well, that's important, because otherwise you have to wait another year.
Yeah, exactly. Keats says, I think Canada should annex Point Roberts. And you know what? I think we should just give it to you. I mean, you know, the only way you can get to it is to drive through Canada. You know, the ferry dock isn't even in the U.S., so there's no way to get there other than driving.
Well, the fact that, and then we have to pay for border patrol there.
Yeah. Okay, there is a border point, but Canadians or U.S., tell me how active and how secure that border is. I mean, is it a, you know, do they do a full inspection, or is it just, come on, we'll let you through because there's nowhere else you can go once you get here? I don't recall. But, you know, I would have went there, you know, pre-9/11. So it would have been very easy to cross. It was very easy to cross into Canada. You show, you know, you don't speak and use an A, they let you in. Oh, yeah. And you want to come back? Yeah. You sounded like an American. Come on in.
I like the name of the road that's on the U.S. side of that Port Roberts. Roosevelt Way.
Oh.
Roosevelt Way. It goes all the way across the
border. Yeah, it does. Right. Line. Right. It's a border road, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, you got Winston and Churchill. You can be at the corner of Winston and Churchill. Mackenzie. Massey Park, Northwood.
But there's no ferry there, so the only way to get there is through Canada.
Well, okay, so Keats, thank you very much. Keats says it's pretty strict because there is a marina at the south end, so you could smuggle stuff via the ocean. But
especially geocachers.
Yeah. Oh, Trexer says if they get annexed, there'd be no place to go for cheap gas.
Oh, so that's why the Canadians don't. No, let's not annex it. We get cheap gas.
No, you guys keep that. Just keep the pumps going.
But the trucks have to go through Canada to
or boat.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all by truck.
It's gotta be.
It's just,
you know, what amazed me is when I went to Hawaii a couple of years ago, gas prices in Hawaii, which, you know, they have to bring everything over by boat, were a little lower than they were here in Tacoma and Seattle.
How does that work?
We've got the second highest gas tax in the nation.
I know, but the shipping tax should be, or shipping costs should be higher.
That's exactly what I think. I mean, are we paying more in tax than it takes for a boat to go to Hawaii and back?
There's no way. Does Hawaii even have refineries?
Yes.
They must.
Yes, they were bombed in World War II. So Seabeck Tribe says, I live near a Canadian border and we crossed all the time. I even had to go to Canada to learn how to drive in a city because my hometown was a stop sign in rural roads. Yeah, I think I grew up with, you know, a stop sign in rural roads. And yeah. Any kids living in Port Robert need to travel to Blaine for an American education.
Really?
The only way to Blaine from Port Roberts is through Canada.
That's crazy. So that must be a heck of a school bus ride.
They have to take a school bus.
How? Through border twice. That's crazy. Twice a day.
They would have to go through a border crossing, right? I mean, even a school, there's no, there would be no special privileges for them.
So that mean all those kids have to have passports? That would have to be. How?
Blaine to Port Roberts is 26 miles, 44 minute drive.
Plus two border crossings.
So there is a cause for annexation in that case.
What, U.S. annexing Canada or Port Roberts?
Mark, we're going to have to say goodnight now because you've just irritated half the... No.
Just joking. Giving
Point Roberts to the Canadians.
This is why we don't have Land Monkey today.
Yeah. See, Land Monkey, you're not here. We can say whatever we want.
Well, I love Canada. I really do.
I do too.
Clean your streets for sure.
But Keats, thanks for that. I had no idea. I would assume Port Roberts had schools. I mean, it's not very big. Is there only, no, there's two towns. There's Maple Beach, South Beach. So it's not just, you know, Point Roberts. Okay. Now I got to find out how many people live there. You know what I could do? I could just make something up and then have people in the chat correct me. Oh, okay. Point Roberts is a P-E-N-E, Penne exclave of the United States on the southernmost tip of the Tawasin Peninsula, south of Vancouver in British Columbia. The area has which had a population of 1,314 at 2010, is reached by traveling 25 miles through Canada. I've never seen the term Penne exclave. Let's search Google. Plural Penne is an area that is for practical purposes an exclave, but does not meet the strict definition. An area that is not completely separated from the main part, but can only in practice be reached by passing through another area. Huh.
Learned something new today.
Yeah. Keith says, it's mostly a retirement community.
So you could live that you want the benefits of the U.S., but really be Canadian. So you live in Port Roberts, right, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Of course, if you want better medical, you live in Canada. I don't know.
I don't know.
Or you build a house on the border on that Roosevelt. Straddles the line.
Yeah. Oh, no, then you'd have to pay twice the taxes.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see. Seebeck Tribe says, when doing sports, we traveled through Canada to go to the other side of the mountain pass. And many times we had to time it very carefully because the border would close at a certain time. If we couldn't make it to the other border, we had to take the mountain pass that was near a road. Or that was a near road. Seebeck Tribe, where did you grow up that you were so close to Canada? Keats said, I had to explain geocaching to a border guard while going through Point Robert. She had no idea what it was. Thank goodness her supervisor knew where it was.
Probably because why were you only in Port Roberts for an hour?
Yeah, well, you could drive all of Port Roberts in an hour. There's no.
That's true. So what were you doing there?
You know, Costco could make a killing right there in Point Roberts, couldn't they?
Well, they could.
Narrow. I don't know where that is. Curlew, Washington, about 3 hours north of Spokane. Okay. I see it right there on the map.
So I know there's a town in New York State, upstate New York State, where the main street, the double yellow line, is the border crossing on their main street.
Oh, wow.
Canada's on one side and the U.S. is on the other side.
So Curlew is really separated by, what is this? There's a big green spot here on the map. I'm trying to figure out what, there's several mountains, Independent Mountain, Togo Mountain, Marble, Rocky, Taylor Ridge, Profanity Peak. Oh, U.S. Mountain. They got really good building. They're coming up with the names. It's big and green. So there's some, state, national forest there. And there's not a road through it. You have to go up into Grand Forks, come back down through to get to like Kettle Falls, the other side of the, that's interesting. Here, this is one of the things that caching in the Northwest gives you that the other podcasts do not. Keith says, looking for containers in the woods was an ill-advised way of explaining geocaching to a border guard. So, there you go. That's not the way you're supposed to explain it. No, I would say a scavenger hunt. Okay, folks, it's already 10 o'clock.
I found an oddity in New York where Canada has the same problem as Port Roberts.
Oh, really?
It's Alkawasne.
It's easy it's for a, you
it's
to a, say.
It's off the St. Regis River, but New York is, it's the only way to get there is through New York. And it's surrounded by water, so you have to go pretty far away to get to Canada. But it's in Canada.
It's in Canada. Okay, so near Buffalo?
It's... Nearest town is Fort Covington. It's right where New York's line starts moving away from the river, St. Lawrence River. Cornwall, Canada is the closest town.
Okay, so, oh, there you go.
If you go to the right a little bit and then scroll down, you see AKWESANE.
Awkward Sun. Oh, wait, no.
I don't know.
Wait. Aqua Sydney. Hey, there's a school there.
And it's a post office, a church,
and the police.
Yeah. And the police.
So they can do school right in their own little town. There's a hotel there that, as far as I know, is unpronounceable.
yeah, I see that too.
There's a colon in the name.
Yes, I see that.
Yeah, that's not fair. You can't put a colon in the name. Here, I'll paste it into chat.
It's kind of funny.
Canon Kanana Quat. I'm butchering it. Canon Quat Sherry IO. Okay. Let's see. Seabeck try. Oh, Keats Morton says, global GPS treasure hunt was the magic words. So, Seabeck Tribe says Sherman Pass is 5,576 feet near Republic. Then Boulder Pass would go from, Curlew to Orient. So I think there's a point to be made that we could trade Point Roberts for...
for Alquist's name?
Yeah. Straight up trade. Oh, wait, no. We'd get a school and they wouldn't.
That's true.
That wouldn't happen. So 1,300 people on Point Roberts. Kids would be... what, a third maybe? So 400 kids? That seems a little high. If it's retirement community, let's go less than half kids. Or a quarter kids. I don't know.
I don't know.
But we're looking at a couple hundred kids. Point, Kate says, Point Roberts or Alaska is fine with me. Yeah, that's right. We're looking at Point Roberts in the, I forgot about Alaska. You know, okay. That really big section that's separated from the U.S.
Okay, so we give Port Roberts, but we keep Alaska.
Okay. Oh, Keats, good one. You win the internet tonight. Folks, thank you for sticking with us as we look on a map and figure out little odd things. And that's kind of some of the things we do in the after show.
That's what happens when you get sidetracked.
Oh, so well. You are good with the puns.
There you go.
Until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.
Good night.